Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. Just a reminder, guys, this is Man Strong Podcast. This is not always Kid Strong Podcast. So just keep that in mind. If you're going to let your children listen to this as you go down the road, some subjects, some words, you may not be very comfortable with. So you make that decision. So I want to talk a little bit about competitiveness. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's from the Northeast. Outdoorsman. A lot of you in this audience would know his name, but I'm not going to mention it. I'm not even going to say what state he's from. And he was talking about how the school system has changed in his area. So it used to be like when I went to school, like say in Meigs County, Tennessee, you know, the county would have five schools closer to where people lived. And then you'd all kind of get together at high school. But you had, you know, Eastview, then Cedar Valley, then Decatur, then 10 Mile, stuff like that, where you had schools, which was kind of the common thing back when schools were more of a community thing than they are now. So he was saying that they got rid of all the small schools and they dumped all their kids into this big school. And he goes, when I go to like something they're doing at school or a teacher parents conference or something like that, he goes, I look around and he goes, Clint, my kids are gonna destroy these kids when they're an adult. I kind of asked him what he meant a little bit about that. He's raising actual men. Now, they're not men yet, but they're not shamed when they're aggressive, when they play aggressive, when they get rowdy, when they want to climb trees, they want to run around the farm, they want to do things that are dangerous, they want to play games, they want to play war. He lets them compete. They play in different sports, more like what kids were when I was growing up, which are not what kids are today. He's raising them more like it's 1970 or 80. And he's looking around and he said, Clint, when you look around these other kids, they don't know how to look anybody in the eye. They're physically soft. Most of them are obese. They got different colored hair. Most of them are not even sure what gender they are. They don't play anything that's physical. The parents don't let them do anything that there's any chance whatsoever they're going to get a boo-boo. They're coddled mentally and physically. And they're going to be at such a huge disadvantage once they get out of the bubble of parents and college and they've got to go in the real world. They're not going to be competitive. Now, some of them may find little things that they can be competitive in. Something online, something on the computer. Some of them probably make a lot of money playing video games because other people want to watch people play video games for some reason. There's always outliers, but generally, I think what he's saying is true. And I've said this for years now. You raise a young man and allow him to be a man, he will dominate in the real world of competition among men. Now, I was reading something about this the other day, and it was talking about the sexual marketplace. And of course, there's experts, and they all kind of seem to agree on this one thing. And I don't know exactly what a sexual market expert, what that means, besides you just claim to be one. But they probably are psychiatrists, and they probably help couples, and they write books, and whatever they do. And they said, when you boil down the sexual marketplace for men to be successful in that, it's all about competition. Men that compete and have confidence win. Men that don't know how to compete and don't know have confidence lose. They end up getting somebody just out of gratefulness that some other female human being with female parts will show them the time of day. They will do anything to keep that person, no matter how miserable their life is. And if we're all honest, we know these people. On the other hand of the sexual market value, and if you're a female, you're not going to like hearing this, but I do think it's correct. For the most part, and definitely more today, women wait out the competitiveness and see who the winner is. Then they try to attach to that person. Women don't like being in a startup business. They want to be with the guy that's already has a business that's successful. They don't want to be with a startup doctor that's barely making it because he can't really work. He's been an intern for basically nothing at a hospital for the next 4 years, and they're eating ramen. That's not what most women want to go through, but they do want to marry the doctor once he's a doctor bringing home $250,000 a year. And if you're a female and that seems to upset you, I don't know why, because down deep, I don't think it's a bad thing. All throughout history, we all have lizard brains. We all have things that inherently we instinctively go for or go towards, and we might not even understand why. Successful men protected women and children, and everybody didn't starve to death, and they could fight off vandals so the kids and the woman wouldn't turn into a slave or a sex slave. That's why women instinctively want a strong and confident male. Not fake confidence, not bravado, not all this sarcasm and crap that millennials think is confidence. Not the confidence of a kid where you're always telling him he's the greatest and he ain't never done anything in his life. Not that. I'm talking real competitiveness and confidence. Now, if you don't think so, before we get into this next part of this, I want you, well, I mean, I need to take care of the sponsor first. We're going to get into something that I think is going to prove a point on this, that if you ask any woman, she will agree to that one of the scenarios is really creepy and one of the scenarios is really hot. And the only difference between the two scenarios is a successful man in terms of gathering resources and a non-successful man. Our sponsor today is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're out of Iowa. Me and Alan actually just went to Mexico about a week ago. That's the reason the shows got messed up. And relaxed a little bit down there, got recharged, come back. Now we're being competitive again. He has a full line of trapping supply stuff. He's got great deals on predator calls that are amazing prices and good quality. He's got copper trap tags, lures and baits, stuff for fishing, stuff for hunting. He's on Amazon, eBay, Walmart. He's got funkytraptagsandsupplies.com, hilltopsupplies.outdoors.com. You can get, as an outdoorsman, a lot of the stuff that you're looking for from a good person with a great company that will treat you right. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Okay, so I said competitiveness is the biggest thing in sexual marketplace. And when you look at, and when I think of this, I go back to the story of my friend when he looks around the kids. Fat, soft, mentally weak, physically weak. All of them's got trauma because Netflix had to buffer last night or something. They're all on anxiety medicine. You know, being a victim is the greatest thing in the world now if you're a young person because it gives you status. And they're going to go out and try to compete. Well, statistically, and you can look up these statistics I'm going to tell you because they're really easy to find. On dating sites, 20% of the men get 80% of the women. That means 80% of the men get very few dates or very little action on these dating sites. Why is that? Women go towards competitive and confident men. Now, what's going to happen with these soft kids is they're going to get on a dating site and they're going to get just overlooked. They're going to try to pick up girls. They're not going to be able to look them in the eye. They're going to be stumbling around. They have no confidence. Women are going to see they're not a competitive person. They're not going to go out and be a go-getter and drag something home for them. And they're going to get turned down and turned down and turned down and turned down. That is a sad existence for a young man. Who's setting him up for this? We can say social media. We can say the government. We can say the school systems. We can say all kinds of different things. You know who's setting them up for this? Parents. You have a kid that's fat, and you don't think he's going to be frustrated when he's trying to go get girls in high school and they're making fun of him? So you just keep patting him on the head as he keeps shoving another box of cereal down his throat? You should think about the consequences of your actions because of the consequences it's going to cause him down the road. He doesn't know how to look people in the eye. That's because he hadn't been taught to. More than that, you as a parent, don't put him in situations or let him put him in situations to build confidence. He needs to get his butt kicked in sports. He needs to go out with his friends and get ran over playing flag football. He needs to know what it's like to jump on a BMX bike and you don't know what you're doing and you come down and almost tear your nuts off as you hit the ground. That's good for boys. They need to fall out of trees and break bones. And they need to learn how to be competitive. And this idea of everybody gets a trophy is the worst thing that can happen to males in human history. Because a lot of kids end up believing it to a point, even though they know it's not true. And parents know it's not true. Because in their real life, outside of school and education, and make-believe sports at a little league in the neighborhood, people that make the most money, get the most resources, date the most prettiest women, get to go on vacations, have the cool cars, are competitive. And the people that aren't, for the most part, struggle. Everybody sees this in their everyday life. No one really wants to put context on it, though. Another thing with young men today, that the reason for not letting them be young men and act like boys and hellions and ruffians and go out and just do what boys do, where you're always dirty, stinky, and nasty, and you're just praying that you can raise them up good enough where they don't end up in jail, is their testosterone is in the toilet. When I was in high school, every male I knew had acne problems. You want to know why? Our testosterone levels were through the roof and we had acne. Go look at high school boys today. They're soft skinned for the most part. No acne. No testosterone. And they act like girls. They're not going to be competitive. And they're not going to have confidence that way. Testosterone kicks in hormonally, but one of the parts that seem to keep it high and higher are guys that have to struggle. If you were to go take the testosterone levels of a high school wrestling team against the high school chess team, you're going to see a huge difference between the two. You go take the testosterone levels of a farm kid that's building fences, hauling hay, dealing with cattle, feeding the hogs, cutting grass, weed eating, getting stung by bees. All that stuff that happens is very different from someone that lives in a suburban house that plays video games all day, masturbates to porn, and talks to pretty much all of his friends electronically. Huge difference. Competitiveness and confidence. Now, I'm going to give you a story. And if you're female, you're probably going to find what I'm getting her to say very disturbing. We're going to say Bill. Bill is a redneck. He lives in a trailer from 1943. It's all he can afford. He's got a rundown pickup truck because that's all he can afford because he makes $11 an hour pouring concrete all day. And what money he does save goes to beer because he's pretty much miserable pouring concrete all day and not having very much money, and that's his way of escaping. But he meets a girl. This girl is a beautiful girl. She's nice. She's educated. She's somewhat intrigued. And what did I say his name was? Billy? Bob? Whatever. Billy. We're calling him Billy now. Gets her back at the trailer. And as he's showing her around, he's getting her a beer, and they're going to cook something out on the grill. She notices that there's a door in the back with a lock on it. She asks what it is, so he opens the door and shows it to her. Inside of this room are chains, whips, medieval-looking things that pin women in certain positions, sex swings hanging from the ceiling. The walls are red. There's feathers everywhere. There's a bed with satin sheets that's almost just a mattress sitting on the floor. To a female that sees that from Billy in his trailer making $11 an hour, and he gets her in the room and decides she needs punished, she's going to feel very, very insecure, and she's going to want out of that situation and is probably going to call the law as soon as she gets back in her car. Now, I'm going to play something, and then I'm going to talk about a different scenario, and I'm going to prove to you the difference of being competitive and confident.
Men preferred visual pornography. Females preferred literary pornography. They found the classic literary pornography plot, which was something like relatively innocent but undervalued and attractive but not so obviously attractive young woman stumbles across this sort of commanding man who has many women at his disposal, and over time, despite his relatively high levels of aggression, he finds himself attracted to this woman and then forms a sexual relationship with her. It's a Beauty and the Beast plot. One of the things that's so interesting about their analysis was they listed the top five occupations or characters for female sexual literature. And they were pirate, surgeon, billionaire, vampire, werewolf. I think it reflects to some degree this conundrum that women have. Women have to pick a man who has the capacity for aggression, enough of the capacity for aggression to protect himself and others and to move out into the world against a fair bit of opposition, but who's also simultaneously empathic or perhaps conscientious enough. You need a bit of a monster in your man, let's say, to keep the real monsters away, but you don't want so much monster so that a relationship is impossible.
Did y'all catch, have y'all ever seen a vampire movie where the vampire wasn't wealthy. Werewolves, I really don't know. Pirates always have the gold. Billionaires are billionaires. Surgeons are rich. Now, what do pirates, surgeons, billionaires, vampires, and werewolves, which, after a long study, we're looking at all the books that women read called romance, which is auditory pornography, because it turns them on, just differently than a male. All those different people are confident. Surgeons, super confident. Billionaires, confident. Vampires, very confident. Werewolves, I don't know that much about. Never seen many movies on werewolves as far as just tearing people up and it's a monster. And pirates are super confident. You couldn't be a pirate and not have confidence. What else do these fantasies also have? They're competitive. Pirates are extremely competitive. Surgeons are extremely competitive. Billionaires are extremely competitive. And if you look at the Twilight series or any of those when it comes to vampires and romance, they're always super wealthy and super confident. The only difference between Billy the Redneck having a sex room and wanting to whip a woman for punishment because of whatever she did or didn't do, and it's just a kink for him, that would gross out a woman is because Billy is not a billionaire. Billy is not a surgeon. Billy is not a confident pirate or a 3,000-year-old confident vampire. That's the only difference. The best-selling book for women, romance, 50 Shades of Grey. What he just described, the pretty but not too pretty, average but not really average girl meets this overly confident billionaire. He's having sex with whoever he wants. He draws her in because he's curious and ends up with her playing all kind of kinky sex games in the sex room. And women drooled and were gushing when they read that. But Billy, with his wife beater t-shirt, hadn't probably took a bath in 2 days, makes $11 an hour, wants to pull that trick, the police are going to get called. What is the difference? The scenario is the same, except for competitiveness and confidence. When I talk about going to the gym, you want to know why I pressure men to try to go to the gym? Because it builds confidence. Because if you do it halfway right, it's hard. And every time you complete a hard workout, you are more confident as a person than it was. If you couldn't run and now you're running a marathon, you are a different species as far as confidence goes. And you're going to be competitive. You got to do hard things and earn confidence. Not false confidence, but confidence. Now, I want to play you something else. See, the scenario with confidence can be the same as Billy in 50 Shades of Grey as far as what a man does when he's trying to woo a woman. He's trying to make her feel good, show that he cares, does stuff for her, wants to protect her. Now, what you're getting ready to hear is a group of women on a panel that are discussing this. The one that's confident, they get turned on. The one that doesn't have confidence, they get grossed out. So I want you to think about this, guys.
It's a very fine line. line between a man being kind and being wet.
I knew you were going to say that.
So what is that difference?
No confidence in themselves.
Yes.
If they've got no confidence in themselves, so they try and do loads of things to make you like them, that essentially turns you off because you immediately pick up on the fact that they're just trying
they don't
to do
have confidence.
This because
yeah.
they don't know what to do. Whereas if you've got someone who's really confident, can be a little bit flirty, can like...
be a bit cheeky,
yeah,
be a
bit banter, be a bit sexy, be a bit passionate, like all that sort of stuff. It's because they're confident in themselves.
I've never heard the term wet, but I can imagine what they mean by that. So what's the difference? The confidence. One comes across as a simp, a little beta male, that's running around like a Labrador retriever trying to please the owner. And the other one with confidence, they like, can be a little more flirty, a little more curt. And they like it. Confidence. When I talk about the reason men should raise confident young men, that's why. Somehow, which I don't understand the logic or the reasoning of parenting today, is somehow you think if you raise a basically non-confident, whiny little bitch of a boy, that he's not going to struggle with that once he's a young adult. And then he's going to be super frustrated when he's trying to get a female companion and they're not interested. Look up the statistics of men that are adults, that aren't married, and how often they have sex. And when you see the numbers that most men are happy if they can get it twice a year, you're looking at very low confident, uncompetitive men. Because a confident, competitive man is not going to have any trouble at all getting girls. Now, if you find yourself single when you're older and you're having trouble with females and you're acting like the wet guy they're talking about because you're acting like a Labrador retriever trying to please the owner with a new girl and she seems to get turned off and you don't understand because you're being so nice, now you know. Competitiveness is something men have to teach men. It's not going to come from women. And the confidence of a man cannot be taught from a female because their view of confidence is radically different. That's the man's job. That's the father's job. And that usually starts about 12 or 13 years old. And a lot of times females don't like it when men teach their boys that, is because it's harsher than the female would do because that's not her nature. But if you want to have a kid that's going to go out and crush life, he's got to be competitive. And he has to have confidence. Statistically, women in some jobs don't get raises the same as men do. Now, feminists will say it's because of patriarchy and all this other garbage. No. When you break everything down, women do not have the self-confidence to ask for the raise. Competitive men will ask for the raise or they will go find another job. That's the reason they get the raises. And if you raise a boy to think like a girl and have the competitiveness of a girl, he's also going to struggle financially. He's probably not going to have the intestinal fortitude to take a chance to start a small business. Confident men find it much easier at the risk of failure than females do, because the lizard brain of a female, when you go back all through time, If something goes wrong, the kids starve to death. Competitiveness. That's why if you're struggling to get a woman and you're not making very much money, that has a lot to do with it. So what do you do about it? I suggest you read books on business and read books on leadership and study videos and listen to podcasts and start some kind of small hustle. I don't care if it's cutting 2 yards for your neighbors. I don't care what it is. You need to do something that will show a female that you're more than just somebody that's barely gonna make it. You need to be a go-getter. They need to see that. That would probably change some of the marriages that are struggling right now. If you're always fighting over money, I can tell you as an entrepreneur and as a competitive guy, okay, I go make more money. But it's not that easy. The hell it's not. That's the difference between confidence and non-confidence. Now, a couple of weeks ago, because I've been thinking about this lately, and I've never really thought about it in any frame of mind this way, is I talked about massages, right? I'm going to tell you 2 ways that you can be way more competitive than other guys with massages. And this may be something you're not interested in, but maybe it'll get you to think about something else. First off, I want to talk about your wife. Wife's never in the mood. She's stressed out all the time. Kids driving her crazy. All the gossip, trying to keep up with everything she sees on Instagram and Pinterest. When y'all do get a little bit of time together, you're if it's like that, you're probably like a freaking dog in heat. And you're all over her, and she's pushing you away. Tell me if any of this sounds like real life. You wanted to be a super competitive husband? Let me give you a little bit of advice. Learn to give your wife a real massage. And I've got a caveat before I continue with this. You do not touch her boobs. You do not get on the center line of her butt. And you never, ever go downtown with your hand or anything else. If you're going to do this, this is for her. This is not for you to try to manipulate her into having sex. Even though probably what you're going to find out is it probably will end up there. But you never, as the male, initiate it. We have a lady that comes every 2 weeks and helps clean the house. She does a lot of the mopping and stuff like that. And she was saying that how her back was all sore. I'm like, well, you should go get a massage. And she was like, well, I've never done one, this, that, and the other. And I asked her partner to give one. And he kind of rubs on her a little bit, then tries to go straight into sex. And it really pissed her off, you could tell. She was asking him for some relief, and all he tried to do was turn it into sex. Don't be that guy, because if you are, you're being a dick. So, if you want to actually get a response from your wife that you're probably not going to believe inside of your relationship, spend 30 minutes for the next 2 weeks looking at YouTube videos and TikTok videos and Instagram videos of massage therapists will teach you how to give massage on those platforms. How to give a back massage, foot massage, a neck massage, hand massage. just give her, learn and practice till you can give her a really good massage. And you don't ever once try to take it anywhere else. That's something you're doing for her. You will not believe how appreciative they are. One, that you took the time to learn and you're trying to get better at it, which you will. It's not that difficult. And for once, you're not trying to use that as a gateway to get them to have sex when they didn't want to have sex with you to begin with. Very few other, because trust me, they will talk to their friends. And every other woman is going to be hyper jealous, and it's going to make her feel like a queen, and she's going to know that you're actually doing something just for her. Now, the other competitive part of this. I've never thought about massages as a business before. For some reason, when we were on vacation, you think about a lot of weird stuff as you're sitting around a pool drinking scotch. And there at the resort we were at, me and my wife went and got a couples massage. And it was, they use credits that you, it's a long story, but it's very expensive at the resort, like $300. Go into Cancun, get a good massage for about $80. Home, an average price of an hour massage is probably $90. And 90-minute massage is probably $110 to $120. It's pretty much the standard that everybody tips, you know, 20-30% if you get a good massage. So if it's $120, you're gonna be leaving about $140-$145 there for an hour and a half. You need money, right? So how would you become a massage therapist? Because this is getting ready to blow your mind, because most people, for some reason, that aren't competitive, don't look at the world this way. You can go down to a local college and get your license. You'll take a few courses. It won't cost you very much money. It's not a whole lot in the instruction courses anyway. It's just do's and don'ts. Like, you know, you don't sit there and just grind on someone's spinal cord. Not good. You don't try to hurt them. There's parts of the back you don't want to put a whole lot of pressure. Different techniques, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you're somewhat confident. You can spell the word massage. You know you're not supposed to grind on their spine. Here's your certificate. You got a license with the state, and the state wants their $25. What? What does that mean? If you were to become a massage therapist as a guy. One, I can tell you from talking to other massage therapists that are females, they say it's harder to build up a clientele because a lot of guys don't want to be massaged by guys. And what I've seen a lot lately is a lot of guys don't want to give massages to guys, and so it's for females only. Which is also going to limit your market, but that's okay. If you set it up where you go to their home, or you have a place that you can at your own house, or you build like a she shed type thing where it's nice and it's comfortable and they got air conditioning and heat, and you put some music on, some candles, you know, make it look nice, guys, have a woman help you out with this. If you were to do 5 massages a day times $120, that's $600 a day times 5 in a week is $3,000 a week. Times 4 is $12,000 a month. Working, well, when you take time of people showing up and stuff like that, maybe 6-7 hours. What does that equate to by the year? $144,000. Are you going to have money problems if you're making $144,000? If you are, you're kind of a stupid person and you have no self-control whatsoever. Now, I've thought of different ways that I'm not going to get to on this podcast that you could actually take this where you could probably make $250,000 a year off specializing where you pamper a woman with a massage as part of it. Not sex, not being a sex worker. Now, don't go there. Just try to think about that a minute. Most women today, wives included, would probably pay $300 or $400 for 3 or 4 hours or a couple of hours of actually being pampered from a guy who's not trying to have sex with them. You could probably charge up to $600 or $700 if it was an all-day thing. But just giving a basic massage, five days a week, grossing $144,000. What does it cost to be a massage therapist? You can get a bang up table, because I've already looked on Amazon. Portable table that's just as good as you're going to go into a spa and be on. A really, really good one's $1,000. I'm talking state of the art, amazing. And you can get a better than most for $500. You need to get some oil, so you got another $20-$30. Some sheets, some towels. Depending on how far you want to go into this, maybe some cups for someone that's into suction. Some people use rollers, some people use massage guns. So let's say that you get all the bells and whistles to do this. After you go get your little license from the local college here, you're probably going to be all in on a business for $1,200. Now, if you go to people's houses, yeah, you're going to have some fuel occurrence there. See, the difference of a business like this, it's not very scalable. You're not going to make $1 million a year doing this, which is fine. But you could make an honest $100,000, $120,000 a year. You're not dealing with inventory like I do in my business. You're not dealing with wholesalers like I am in my business. You're not dealing with the cost of everything going up like I am in my business. You're not dealing with employees like I have dealt with in my business and all that entails. You would be super competitive with a skill that women like. Now, you can't be creepy about it. You're going to have to maybe not have the full mountain man beard. You're going to have to make sure your hygiene is super on point. Your nails are clean. You're very respectful. You learn to communicate with a woman confidently. You do your job and you leave them alone respectfully. Just something to think about as far as being competitive. People get stuck in this idea that they have to stay poor because they don't know what to do. All you have to do, guys, to be competitive in the marketplace of money, so you're competitive in the marketplace for women, is learn to think like an entrepreneur, which normally, for a lot of people, because your parents probably didn't tell you, they kept you away from that in high school, they lied to you about that in college, is you're going to have to go through a bunch of information and learn how to rethink how you see the world as far as money goes. If I was a single guy, I would probably do this and maybe not work 5 hours a day. I might do 3 a day. And have a killer life, and I still have disposable income. Me personally, I wouldn't want to hire other massage therapists to try to expand this. That causes headaches. Now, what else have you been around your whole life as a guy that you see people spend money on that you've never once actually thought the business model out in your head and maybe go, holy cow, I could make $144,000 a year if I was good at being a massage therapist? You know what it takes to be good at being a massage therapist? Studying the craft and learning the motions. That's what it takes to be successful. And that's pretty much what it takes to be successful in anything. Now, are you going to be more or less confident with your own business, giving a massage, for $144,000 a year? Or Billy, that's busting his ass and sweating his nuts off every single day pouring concrete in the summer for $11, $12, $13, $15 an hour? Which one of those do you think women are going to want to be associated and be around with more? The life you get is the life you choose, consciously or unconsciously. I do believe that. Learn to open your eyes, guys. Money's not the issue. The lack of understanding money and thinking about money is the issue. Now go be competitive and do something hard every day to build that confidence.